Hey folks, this is Jesse Cope, back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well. Hope your day is going good, whatever part of it you're in. I'm very grateful for you giving me a little slice of your day. I will try and use it wisely. Hopefully give you some information. Draw us a little closer back to God and Jesus Christ, both individually and as a nation. And maybe we'll learn something. Hopefully you get to enjoy it with somebody else. Gives you something to talk about. Not a lot on the homestead. Got a little work done on the duck coop. Little bit of yard work done. Have an immense amount more to do. We have let the ducks out during the day for the first few times. The last couple days, we'll see how that turns out. See if we manage to keep all of them or if we start to lose some. There were some birds that looked pretty interested, some large birds that looked pretty interested in the ducks yesterday, but they never did anything, so we'll see. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your love, your mercy and grace. Your forgiveness of sins through the merit of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for those who listen to and share the podcast. Be with them. Bless them and their families. Guide us, Lord. Protect us from evil of any kind. Help us to do your will. Be with our nation. Be with those who protect us, Father, our military, our law enforcement. Be with their families. Comfort those who have lost husbands, fathers, sons. Brothers. Help us to support them, Father. Help us to encourage them. Help us to take care of any widows and orphans that are left behind from their service. Help us again, Father, please, to turn back to you as a nation. And guide my words here. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Have you read your Bible? Have you made time for God today? I hit this each day, folks, because we're just not doing it as a nation, as a whole. We're just not. All you have to do is look around. We have become a Bible illiterate nation, and it is making us easy to mentally and socially enslave. All you have to do is look at the protests right now. There's a number of things you could look at, but that's a great one right now of the college students and agitators, the Ivy Leagues. Saw an article within the last couple days. Portland State University, I think, had barricaded some students and others who had participated in the riots 3 or 4 years ago over there, had barricaded one of the buildings. You look at these places where godlessness has really been centered. It's not hard at all to see why we're destroying ourselves, why we're devolving as a nation. So,
If you haven't made time to read your Bible, you can turn the podcast off, go read it for a few minutes. You can come back, we'll be here, I promise. If you don't know where to start, you can join along with us. We've been reading through Matthew for a while now. We read through Proverbs, I don't know, a month or so ago. And most of our little daily Bible readings are less than 5 minutes. So just turn it on. I know my voice isn't, you know, charming, although it might lull you to sleep. But it will get you listening to or reading the Word of God if you're not already. And then have you made time for your spouse? If you're married, this person that theoretically is the most important human being in your entire life ever, have you made time for them today? To love them in whatever way makes them feel loved, nourished, cherished, respected, submitted to, desired. Whatever it is, folks. Not what makes you feel that way, but what makes them feel that way. Have you done that? Have you made time for it? Or have you made time for your phone and TV and sports? Make time for your spouse. You know, something just popped in my head. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to. It wasn't necessarily because I didn't want to do this. I just hadn't really thought of it until just now. And there's a article in the Epoch Times from a couple weeks ago, I think. Let's see if I can find it real quick. And it's a fascinating, actually, I think I talked about it. Yeah. But just in case I didn't, I'm going to run through it again real quick. There's an article by Louise Chambers, and the title is Letting Kids Be Kids, and it's interviewing this family that went into Yale, the Yale Club at Yale University, a private club for Yale University graduates, ironically enough, considering what's going on at the Ivy Leagues right now. And they walked in there, and they said it was like walking into a bygone era. There's a dress code, so you've got to wear a blazer or skirt, you know, dress, something. So you have to actually look like a man or a woman. Interesting. And there's strict rules about technology use, so people aren't on their phones. And so they went in and they liked the fact that everybody was sitting there actually talking to other human beings, right? And so they went back home, this family did. I think it's the Collinses. Yeah. And they created a room where they didn't allow any technology. And so you walk in and you can read. You can sit and talk. You can do skits. You can play games. But there's no technology. They said they actually recently added a record player, so it wasn't completely technology free. But so you can listen to music. But as a family, not like your own little earbuds off by yourself doing whatever you want. You had to interact with people. And so it's become a focal point for their family. And I think they have, I think it said 8 kids, right? And so they... Mrs. Collins, so she said, it's where we gather to pray as a family, where her husband smokes a pipe in the evening, where we often host friends, play the piano. They have a piano in there, playing a game, reading the newspaper, reading a book. She said, it's a lot of times it's where kids will come and on Saturday mornings to try and hide away from their chores. There's a lot of good that's come with technology, folks. I'm not anti-technology, but the screens, that's not part of it. And so this all goes back to your spouse. If you have time to watch sports, really in person or on the screen, you have time to love your spouse. If you have time to scroll your phone, to watch your latest TV show, you have time to love your spouse. Go do that. Thomas Jefferson, third president of the United States. He who permits himself to tell a lie once finds it much easier to do it a second and a third time, till at length it becomes habitual. He tells lies without attending to it, and truths without the world's believing him. This falsehood of the tongue leads to that of the heart, and in time depraves all its good dispositions. Once we start to tell a lie, it's easier and easier to sell that lie to others, to ourselves. You saw that with the socialist communist movements of the 20th century, whether you're talking about Mao in China, Hitler and the Nazis in Germany, Lenin, Stalin in Russia. Once you start to sell a lie, it becomes easier and easier to do. And people believe it more readily. And it's easier to sell lies when you don't have, when you're not well versed in the truth. Right? The Bible, Jesus Christ. That's why that Horace Greeley quote from the 19th century is so true. It's impossible to mentally or socially enslave a Bible-reading people. But it is not impossible to mentally or socially enslave a Bible-illiterate people, which is why you see what we see today in America. I haven't done a great job of this of late, and I apologize. I kind of hit it in spurts. But one of the things about the Patriots Bible, so Founders Bible, Patriots Bible, America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations, those three books I talk about often on the podcast. If you're new to the podcast, I know we have a lot of new people in different areas. I would highly recommend all three of those books if you can get your hands on them. You can buy them anywhere almost. Some of them are a little more expensive than others. But those three, they ought to be primary textbooks in every single classroom across the nation. And I highly would recommend having a copy in your house for your family. Makes a great gift, too, if you're a grandparent with grandchildren or a parent with children that are adults. But one of the things the Patriots Bible does is all throughout the Bible, they put where each of the presidents has laid their hands when they took the oath of office, which in itself is pretty neat, right? When you see the left saying, well, we're not a Christian nation, just this one simple fact proves that as a lie. If we weren't a Christian nation, we would never have required our leaders to give an oath, a solemn oath, with the Bible as the anchor for that oath. I mean, it's so simple. The idea that we were born as a secular or deist nation, but yet we're secular, but if you want to take an oath of office, then you've got to have your hand on the Bible. I mean, it's ludicrous. It doesn't even make sense. Anytime somebody starts talking to you about how we're not a Christian nation, just ask them that, and then you can walk away. You don't even have to listen to the response, because it's either going to be gibberish, or that's going to be some kind of cynical lie. Why do our presidents, why do our leaders take an oath of office on the Bible? So Abraham Lincoln in 1865 put his hand on three different verses, Matthew 7:1, 18:7, and Revelation 16:7. I'm going to see if I can read these in order. Matthew 7:1 is somewhere here. Yeah, there we go. Judge not that you not be judged. That's a pretty good one. Right. And then 18:7. Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come. And then Revelation 16:7. And I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. So judge not. That makes sense when you're talking about when you have the background of the Civil War and going into the end of it, right? This is 1865 and Lincoln's trying to set an example to tell people, hey, don't judge the people in the South as if they were somehow worse than you, right? You go back to that Harriet Beecher Stowe comment at the end of her novel, Uncle Tom's Cabin. I don't have it in front of me, but it was in the 50s, I think, when that was published, 1850s. And she said, you know, we've still got time. Both the North and the South have a lot to answer for, or Christians have a lot to answer for in general. You know, today, those of us that try to, imperfectly, but try and follow the commands of Christ, we like to look at those who openly reject Christ or those who claim to follow Christ but don't, obviously, because they don't follow his commands. And it's easy to look at them and go, well, you're the problem. There's a great meme about that. You are the problem. Don't want to point fingers at anybody, but you're the problem. The issue with that, folks, is that when you really dig down to it, we're the problem. Because we didn't take a hard stand. We've had all these chances. And some people have tried. There's some people that obviously have. There's a grandmother right now, I think in Tennessee, that's facing the rest of her life in prison because she tried to shut down an abortion clinic, she and a few others. They didn't even try and shut down the clinic. They just were trying to talk to the women before they went in there. And they may spend the rest of their lives in prison now. So there's definitely some that have. But for a lot of us, what have we done? We want to point fingers at those who aren't following Christ. But what are we doing? And I think that was kind of the mentality that Lincoln had. You know, we could have stopped this a long time ago as a nation, and we didn't. And so now here we are. So now we've got to fix the problem. And then I lost it now because my brain went away. But Matthew 18:7, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come. That's pretty condemning, folks, if we're leading children astray. If we're not talking to them about the things that God says are important, or if we're allowing or encouraging things that we know are wrong because we don't want to offend other people. And then the last one here, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. It had to be hard in a civil war to see all the pain and the destruction. And I think it was Lincoln that talked about that and said, you know, we want this to be over, but there's a price to pay. In fact, I might be able, in the last little bit of time that we have to find that quote from Lincoln. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to get there in time. So we'll try and come back. It's a pretty good quote. And read it on the next podcast. But the point is, it really fits pretty well with the problems that we see today. Regardless of what's coming for our nation, it doesn't change that God is true and righteous, and that his judgments are too. God bless y'all. God bless your families. God bless your marriages. God bless America. We'll talk to y'all again real soon, folks. Looking forward to it.